It's been seen worn by The Weeknd, Post Malone, Justin Bieber.
I've spent the last 12 years learning everything it is to know about the fashion industry. Like, I've done everything from customer support to production to building the brand to content, and I'd start again. Everyone would be able to trust me because I've built Represent already. I guess it wouldn't be anywhere near as hard as starting again with nothing.
What do you think, you know, your brand popped off, I guess,
Because it's sick.
How many garments do you sell in a day?
1,000+. I don't think you're born with ambition, man. You learn that through your upbringing. You see things and it makes you either go, fuck that guy, or I want to be that guy. And if you're the guy that thinks, I want to be that guy, that's ambition.
Would you sell Represent for £400 million?
Bought into a family where my dad would never stop, never showed emotion. And then I had my mum that would sit on the end of my bed at night and be like, oh, George, I believe you're going to make it. Something about you that I know that you're going to make, like, do successful, get great results.
That's
and do
crazy.
Things.
That's
so
crazy.
I had both of them elements telling me these different things. And then I really, like, is that luck?
Muy buenas a todos y bienvenidos a un nuevo podcast de Nude Project. Today we are with one of the masters of the fashion industry. What we hope for this podcast is to bring as much value as possible, sharing both his experience and also our experience from growing Nude Project.
So yeah, what he said, one of the most special podcasts to date. The man we have in front of us has been 11 years in the game. He turned a college project and went to one of the greatest brands in Europe. The brand kind of blew up in 2019 and went from 8 to 80 million pounds. And this 2024, it's been seen worn by The Weeknd, Post Malone, Justin Bieber. And man, the guy is George Heaton from Represent himself. Let's go.
Thanks for having me, boys.
I just want to be really honest from the start. We were able to catch up yesterday, but as we told you, we came all the way to Manchester. Right now, we're in your new offices, which are amazing, by the way. And we just told you, first, this was a proper, like, special experience, because from Spain, when we started the brand, the only real reference we had when starting the clothing brand was, like, Ben Francis and everything he did, because he documented it, everything. Yep. And then the next person we found was you. We saw a podcast where you were with Rizwa Bara, which also has a brand, and Lewis Morgan, who started Gymshark. And I remember it added so much value to our lives, where it kind of also inspired us to start the podcast and everything we're doing now. So being able to sit with you yesterday and stuff, I was like, fuck.
Yeah,
this is properly real.
That's so dope, man. It's cool that, like, I get to change people's lives as well. And even though it's you guys that are putting so much work into it yourself, like, we still give off a little bit of inspiration through what we show on social media or podcasts or whatever it is. So that's so cool.
So my first question, George, is, as I want to make it as relatable as possible to the people that are watching us, I would like you to imagine that tomorrow, me and Bruno take your Rolls Royce. You lose the 90 kilos of muscle that you've gained throughout these years.
That's a lot.
And you just appear in the center of Manchester, basically with the 150 pounds that you started your brand with. What would be everything that you would do to try to get back to where you're at in today's environment?
I guess my question back to you is, do I get to keep the same skill set that I have now?
That's a good question.
Yes, you can keep
it. Okay, that. Well, the thing is, man, I've spent the last 12 years learning everything it is to know about the fashion industry. Like, I've done everything from customer support to production to building the brand to content to designing the clothes. So I kind of know what I need to do. I would go back to the same connections that I have made through the brand, and I'd start again. Everyone would be able to trust me because I've built Represent already. They know what I'm capable of. They know the team that I can build, and they know the mindset that I've got to create whatever it is that I need to create. So I guess it wouldn't be anywhere near as hard as starting again with nothing.
So being able to talk up with you, we were like, how do we do this podcast? How do we make it special? And we're like, fuck, there's so many kids that are going to be watching this that their dream is to start a clothing brand. Or maybe might not even be to start a clothing brand, but to be in the industry or to somehow work as a designer and represent whatever it could be. We wanted to be like a super graphic thing of step by step how to start a clothing brand, you know, because we know your story and I want the world to know too. But it's like, how does it start? You know, first step, let's say it's the idea in the early days.
Yeah.
Like, where does the idea come from and how is it born?
I think it's small steps. I think writing down a list of too many things that you need to do and thinking about all different product categories and who you need to employ is something for much further down the line. I think you got to take everything 1% at a time, right? So first, establish your name. I think a name, the name is number one, right? That's your brand. Make sure you get a name. Make sure you get that trademarked, as we all know.
Just for the record, we both had issues registering our name.
Yeah, crazy issues, bro.
And I don't know if you can tell your story because you have a crazy story.
Yeah. I mean, I can tell it to some extent. We fought for many years to try and get our name back because we hadn't done the right things in the right areas. And that led to such a bad place in the business that eventually when it finished, that we'd put so much work into that one thing that it made the business flourish because we knew what we wanted to do after that. And we were stuck there. So yeah, I'd always say that's number one. Number one, establish your name, create the brand, IP, get lawyers to sort out what it is, where you want to grow, make sure you've got the names in the right places.
Yeah, some people think that the name is having the username on Instagram.
Right, it's not. it's not. Way more than that, right? It's a business.
It's not. Like we also had an issue where it's like we had a name beforehand of the one we have right now, and we already had 50,000 followers. It's me and Alex. We're like 20 at that point. And we're like, oh, bro, we might really live off this. Because being able to live off the brand seemed like such a far reality,
so distant, right?
And when we were starting,
it seems so distant for a long time.
Yeah, a long time. And then we're finally getting a tiny bit of a taste of like, bro, we can be financially independent. Boom, you have to change your name because there's already a brand that has a similar name.
Right, but you've gone through that process now, so you know that's happened. You know you won't make that mistake again. Mm-hmm. And if you can tell the kids that are listening to this, this is what I did. This is first how it step. Happened. They're not gonna go through that. So they're learning so much easy detail that you don't learn in school or college, or no one tells you about that stuff. So to listen to us guys talk about it, that we've been through it firsthand, we've been through those struggles, it's so much better. And it means that they don't need to do it. So I'd say that's number one. I'd say there's probably three fundamentals. I'd say your name, your
and
brand.
The name, sorry to interrupt, but the name, where does it come from in your case? Represent.
Actually, I was in college. I wrote a list of names on a piece of paper and decided that represent would be the one.
That's hard.
So yeah. And I guess you've created that through having that name.
Really?
Yeah. Like your name is a representation of yourself. Excuse the pun. But like Nude Project is a representation of you. So like you said, a blank canvas. Like that's the brand ethos. Like really? For us, it's about like, how can I represent my whole self? And it works with the brand name. So I guess you build that around the name.
And what are the other two fundamentals? First is the name?
Yeah, I'd say the name. I'd say your brand DNA. So the aesthetics, how it looks, how you want it to show up, how you want those kids to see it. What is your storefront? What is your Instagram page? Like, what is that look? If you can continue that look and not have to swap and change and go for different directions and follow other brands, like, if you can keep that strong, solid image of your brand and people can buy into it, they know it's always there. I think that's a very strong one. Even with you guys, you're so good at that.
Yeah.
Like, the way the brand comes across, you know, boom, that's Nude Project straight away. Before you even see anything come up about your name or the brand, like, you see the videos you put out there, I know it's you.
That's cool.
So, like, DNA definitely is number two.
And a question to that, to open a little bracket, is at the same time, I think the represent from 4 years ago, or from when I started seeing it to the representatives today, is a complete, I wouldn't say it's a different band, but it's just evolved so much.
Yeah.
How do you do, like, keep, like, the, okay, I want to be solid to my foundation, but at the same time, I evolve as a human, you know? If I'm changing, and, for example, say you don't like rock tomorrow anymore.
Yeah.
You can't keep making rock t-shirts because it won't feel real to you, no?
Of course. So I think, like, with how we mature as humans should be displayed in your brand. Especially if it's something personal to you and you use yourself as influencers of the brand, like the way you grow up should be given off in the brand because it's your brand, right? I'm not going to be wearing the same clothes I was wearing 10 years ago, but the evolution of them clothes is the same as the evolution of my mindset, how I want to dress, where I am, like what I earn, like the whole brand can continue with that story. And I think that's the beauty of like personal brands.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. And if you look historically, we were watching the other day, for example, the documentary of Ralph Lauren.
Yeah.
Or when we watched the documentary of Playboy, both of the founders are an exact representation of what you see today about the brand.
And
that's what brings us the responsibility of growing ourselves as persons as much as we possibly can every single day, you know?
And bro, just let me say, I'm kind of pissed off a little because we don't stop saying represent, you know, it's a representation. This guy has a fucking good name.
It's a good name.
Yeah, that was a good choice.
There has to be some magic with the name.
Yeah, but But like going back to the question, it's like, imagine having the nude project, right? And this is how it looks. And you decide that's it forever. And you grow as people and you change and you get older and you're still creating that same thing. It's not going to be enjoyable for you. You want to be creating things that get you excited, that you want to wear, that you want to be a part of. That's your lifestyle. So just let it mature with yourself.
So yesterday when we arrived to the hotel, I was talking to Bruno and I was thinking, man, like something that I find it's very similar between what you're doing and what we're doing is that we have a super, super strong purpose and a huge passion for what we do. And for me, that would be like my biggest ingredient in any type of way as to become a successful brand, you know? And I think it shows every single day. And it's crazy to see how there's so many people that have literally millions of dollars and I see them unhappy in comparison to, for example, what could be Jake Paul, who literally, he made millions of dollars and now he's getting punched in the face every day.
When he could be in a yacht.
When he could be in a yacht popping bottles and he's literally working every day. Yeah. So I think that's super inspiring.
It makes you think, doesn't it? Like even if you went and got offered a lot of money for your brand, like what are you going to do next? I guess you can go and find the next thing that you'll be inspired by that will become your mission, like Jake's now fighting. But like if your brand is so personal to you, you want it forever, right?
Fuck, it's a big question, you know, because I think constantly in life, we kind of, as you grow up and you're very stuck up in this one thing for first, it could be the brand.
Yeah.
You kind of question like, why am I doing this? Right. Like, why am I sacrificing? Why is George Heaton waking up every day at 4 a.m. to go train, then go work, and then go sleep and work and sleep and work? And I think we all, every once in a while, ask ourselves, why the fuck are we doing this? You know, and I think for us, it's always been like, what would I be doing if I wasn't doing this?
Yeah.
I'd be fucking lost. Like we started this, I told you yesterday, it's our first job. And we're super blessed to be able to say that. But this was 18, it was our first job.
Yeah.
So it's like, I literally have no idea of what I would do. And when we've ever thought or like, or we've got an offer to buy the brand or anything, or just even remotely thought about it, we've always said, why would we do something outside of this if we can do everything inside of this? In the sense of like, we told you yesterday, we started the brand. Then we started the podcast and we're like, let's do that under the brand.
Yeah.
Because we want to talk about the progress and we want to talk about everything this means to us. And hopefully that helps some kids.
Of course.
And it literally has, you know, it's become very big for
and
us.
And it's now part of the brand. It's part of the lifestyle.
Really?
Like that's why even with me with 247, so many people say, why is it not a separate brand? Because Represent is my life. Like, why would it be? Why would I want to separate things out when it can all be under the same thing? Like we live in a time and place now where everything can be the same. You're not like constrained to just being a clothing brand. Like you guys are not just, I just sell t-shirts. No, like you run the podcast under the brand. You're doing footwear now with the brand. You're doing collaborations with the brand. You're doing other homeware with the brand. You can make this thing like more than just fashion, right?
Yeah, we literally just started a beer, which is the most random thing we've
ever done. But it proves that you can do anything.
Yeah.
I wanted to touch like the point.
I just want to say, we're not drinking the beer, by the way. It was the most amazing beer I've had in my life, but it's George made us wake up at 9 a.m. today, and I don't know, but 10 a.m. beer is the thing, you know? Like, George, you're more than welcome to go.
Let's taste this.
Okay, let's give it a shot. Cheers, boys.
That actually tastes really
Cheers,
good.
Cheers, boys.
This need to be your...
Desnuda. No, available.
Your comment in Spanish. La desnuda es...
Está it's good. It's quite sweet as
Can
well.
Can you say...
La desnuda está muy buena.
La desnuda está muy buena.
That's fine.
Something like that. What did I say then?
La desnuda is very nice.
All right, yeah. It's very nice.
I wanted to touch, like, going back to what we were speaking about, this whole passion thing, this whole purpose thing, because is that the issue that you... see among the many kids that are starting brands now that they might start because of the money, the fame and the success and maybe not focusing on that inner purpose? Or
yeah, I think so. But at the same time, like you can build it into your purpose. You can make it your mission. Dude, I went through many years where I hated doing it. I didn't want to do it for a long time. Didn't enjoy it. Didn't enjoy coming to the office. The brand wasn't doing well. The way I was designing things wasn't the right way. And I didn't enjoy the brand. And it kind of fell out of purpose to me. And you just build it. It's like a muscle. You build it. You do it more and more and more. You get more interested in it. You get more love back from it. And it becomes like more of a purpose-driven thing because like the more you do something, the better you get. It's like anything. Like if you decided today, I'm going to start running, you can run 1 mile. In 3 weeks, you can run 3 miles. In 2 years, you can run an ultra marathon. Like you just get better at it and better at it and you start enjoying it. It's the same with building a brand. And that can be in any industry, in any type of brand. Like, you don't have to come and follow us and just do the same thing that we've done. Like, you're in the same stages as what I was in a couple years ago. Like, we're doing the exact same thing. There's guys out there that probably aren't too interested in fashion, but they still want to build their own brand. Like, you can do it with anything. It doesn't have to be purposeful at the start.
And also, just looping back to the initial question, which was like the three pillars to start the brand. Mm-hmm. You said the name, brand DNA, and then the last one?
Last one for me is like the product. What are you selling? Like, what is the mission? Like, is it the price point? Is it the quality? Like, what is that product that you want? Like, make sure everything aligns to that. Like, the sole purpose behind Represent is to be able to supply the best quality product, the best fit product, the best delivery next day, mostly all over the world. Like, before they even get the tracking, I want that thing delivered to that guy's house.
Wow.
And I want them to be so happy that when they receive it, it's way better than what they imagined because of what they paid for it. So for me, that's like the third element, is like deciding on what that product is. Is it quality? Are you doing it for a profit? Are you doing it for a purpose? Like, what is that element, and make sure that's number one.
I think it's like one of the, maybe might be the toughest thing, like what is the product I'm doing? How are the margins? Like, mm-hmm. it's a very important part of the business that maybe people don't look at as much. And I have two debates, which is one is pricing and one is volume versus exclusivity.
Yeah.
The thing of, we all know in a world where everything is so vastly accessible, like you can go on Amazon and you can have a package the next day.
Right.
You can go on any website and look at the information. Like, I can search up George Heaton and I'll just get a Wikipedia of you, and I can kind of basically know your life just for one tap. ChatGPT now, you can ask him anything and can write crazy things for you, you know? It's everything super accessible. Yep. And I think in a world where everything's super accessible, what people value each day more is exclusivity. So like, I'll put an example. I go to Chrome Hearts in Miami. We go to the store because we're just looking at different stores and shit. I knock on the store, it's empty. I knock and I'm like, yo, can I come in? I want to buy something.
Nope.
The guy's like, no, you can't. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, how am I not going to be here? And he's like, oh, you need an appointment. I'm like, okay, can I get an appointment for like in 30 minutes? No, there's not an appointment for the next 4 days. Like, bro, I'm leaving Miami. Like, what do you fucking want? You know, you want to fight? No, but I thought it was very interesting of like, oh, this is the culture. Right. This is the exclusivity. And we've had an ongoing debate in our brand too of like, how exclusive do we want to be? How much do we want to grow? And I kind of just wanted to ask how you see it and how you deal with it and represent.
I like to sit on the fence. So I like to do both. Say exclusivity and hype is on this side, and a real strong business that is able to deliver on this side. That's I like cool. to sit right in the middle.
That's cool.
We'll push our basic product and our entry-level product through every day. You can buy it in the stores. You can buy it online. We'll always make sure we've got that in stock.
Continuity. Make an example, that could be like the Owner's Club,
exactly.
right?
Owner's Club collection. Great quality product, very entry-level, basic colors for the guy that's new to represent. And then on the other side, we'll have our hype product. So that is super exclusive. We might only run 50 pieces or 300 pieces. We might only launch it for 1 hour. We might launch it for 24 hours. We might only launch it in one store in London or a different store in New York. Like, we'll do both. So some weekends we'll be launching with a store. Other weekends we'll be putting full continuity out there. I like to
good
bring
balance.
The essence of both. Yeah, balance them both, because we've got both customers. We've got guys that want to just quickly shop online, get it the next day. They want to wear it on the weekend. They need to buy it on a Thursday night. And then we've got the guys that are super into the brand, where it's like, they're diehard fans, where they know they need that one of 50 pieces.
Especially, I'm curious about how Cortez, for example, is going to play out. Like,
evolve,
they are,
you know? Yeah.
They are super, super hot right now.
Super exclusive.
Super exclusive.
You literally can't go on their website and buy something.
Right.
And we have seen in the past how Supreme, taking that super exclusive route, and they ended up getting a $1 billion valuation.
Yeah.
I think it depends who you are as a person, like what is the status you're going for? Do you want to be able to supply goods for everyone? Do you want to be able to supply goods for just the top 1%? Do you want to give it to just exclusive people? How much money do you want to make? Like, how well off do you want your family to be? Do you want the team to succeed? Like, there's so many different elements that you can go down and mm-hmm. think about. But for me, a solid business and what we're trying to do is become great for everybody. Have some exclusivity, have some continuity, and create a great brand.
Of course. I mean, that's what you see across the biggest brands
exactly.
in the world.
Like
when you think about Lacoste or Tommy Hilfiger or Nike, they have the product matrix super, super well
look
made.
At, look at and Nike.
They, You see the sneakers that
Travis
they
Scott.
Resell?
Travis Scott, they'll release 30,000 pairs, super exclusive, sell out. But they'll also have the exact same shoe, slightly different material mix that goes into all the bottom stores that are selling it at $80, $90, euros, whatever. And they're selling thousands every single day. But the guys that are buying the Travis Scott are so blind to the guys that are going in the store picking up the same shoe. So
talking about Nike, they just did, for example, they're very good at doing like niche collaborations. They did Nocturne with Drake. They did Cortez, which was think about it. In the macro, it's not massive because Cortez is growing slowly. But with the like 7 billion people there is in the world, there probably a lot of people buy Nike. They might not know Cortez, but in the streetwear world, in the realm, it's like the biggest thing that's existed in history. Like him fucking in the Billboard, boom, gangster.
Crazy,
you know, like I couldn't do that just because I don't have the street cred. You know, we're not like that.
But incredible brand, incredible.
It was massive, man. And I want to hear your opinion about Cortez because I think it's very interesting and people would love to hear.
Yeah, look, I think that he's come into a space where Supreme was kind of that era, that in that space, like so was Palace. There was these brands that are now quite old and quite established. Like someone had to come in and take that spotlight.
Yeah,
he's come in and he's took that spotlight and he's running with it. And I think he's doing amazing.
And why do you think it's so, like, what is special about Cortez? What made it fucking, because it got hot quick.
Yeah, I think some people just do the right thing at the right time. And I think that was him and the way he's gone about the press and who he's shot for. And like, even like Amy Leon Dore using him as their model. And then now Supreme last week using him. Like, he knows what he's doing. He's doing it extremely well. Probably has a really good team behind him.
Supreme used him as a model.
Yeah, their last campaign.
What? Mm-hmm. They used Clint as a model.
Like, think about this. We've all been saying for the past year, like, oh, Clint is the new Supreme, and then Supreme
just got him as a fucking model.
Maybe that'll be a collab as well. Like, that's the ultimate.
He said unattainable to most.
That's a bar.
That plays a role for sure. And for example, like I remember you saying, I want to make clothes that they are premium, they are luxury, but they are still affordable to a 25-year-old. Are they still affordable for a 25-year-old?
Yeah, for me, they just about like it's. What I see it as is like the 25-year-old that's working a normal job that sees it as an inspiring brand, he can just about afford to represent. It's not like I'm putting prices out there that's $700 for a hoodie. Like, it's $200. It is affordable. Like, for our market, it's affordable.
For your market, yeah.
But at the same time, it's...
Spanish people are really...
Alex bought him Black Friday. I bought the shoes and I bought the pants.
Yeah, it's
on
like...
Black Friday, I went crazy.
It's like earlier when we said about sitting on the fence. I feel like I sit on the fence there because I'm delivering the quality of the brands that are 10 times the price of me, but I'm also attainable just about.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, the way I see it is you have to be honest. And what I mean honest is the client, no one is stupid, you know? The client gets your hoodie, he's paid 200 euros. If he doesn't feel it's worth 200 euros, he's going to be like, yo, this guy robbed me in no way, you know?
Yeah.
Or it's like the guy when the guy buys Zara, for example, fast fashion for the people that know it, they spend 4 euros on the t-shirt.
Yeah.
And maybe in 3 weeks, it's already in the garbage because it's not a good quality t-shirt, but you know what you're paying for, you know? Yeah. It's the value for money. So I think that's the most important thing.
It's massively important.
The value you're giving is according to that, and that's not only quality, but it's the brand, the values, the packaging even, like it's the whole experience.
Exactly.
I think it's very fair, you know? And the client decides at the end of the day because
the client decides, bro.
The most important thing is that client coming back, you know? It's way more important than even getting new clients.
Exactly.
It's way more easy.
And we're a servant to that client, so if you can deliver them if you can over-deliver for what you're actually giving them, then you've got them, bro. They're coming back.
With this, I wanted to ask you, right now you're in a moment where it's like rocket ship. You know, you're going, you did 50 million last year. This year, you're bound to do 80 million. I'm not mistaken, myself,
right?
At least. 80 million. I saw a press article that said in 2025, we're going to do 250 million. So that is numbers, you know, that is numbers and that is speed. Do you see in this rocket ship moment where you just get a new office, everything is incrementally better? Do you see like, oh, this could possibly also go down? And like, what do I do if that happens?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie and say no. Like, I still think about that every day. I'm sure every leader does that's in a business that's growing so fast. And like, maybe you're going to make a lot of wrong decisions. And look, we're bound to make a lot of wrong decisions, but it's like how we show up, we go back to talking about the quality of the product. If I can maintain the quality of the product and I can build a great team that can sustain this business for way longer than what I can myself, then we're going to be fine. Like, I don't see too many issues that are going to trip us up so much because we're showing up, we have brand guidelines, we know what we're going to do, we know how we're gonna do it.
Especially you have this this customer that is the like the you were telling us yesterday, no, the average British guy that bought one T-shirt and started getting addicted to buying from Represent and building like, that wardrobe.
If I can sustain that loyal customer that really loves the brand, then it can't go down. Like the loyal customer is me and my team. Like we're all so bought into the brand. Like everything we do, everything I touch, everything that I fit every day, it's like I make sure it's perfect and I can get it better and better every season, every time. The brand can't stop.
We'll get now to the target customer. It's something I want to go deeper on. But also, I feel like you're super strong in product.
Yeah,
it's something that we need to work more on and something that I see many of the young kids that are starting clothing brands, they don't have the experience, they don't have the team, but it's important that when your brand has this first traction, to invest on your product and invest in your team of product, right? You have how many designers you have, for example, here right
in,
now?
In the product team, we have around 20 people.
20 people between designers and merchandisers,
developers, garment techs, graphic designers.
And then apart from that, there's the like the buyers.
Yeah, there's buyers, merchandise, production, all that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, how did you started growing that team? Your brother took.
Mike was always really, really, really good with graphics. Like the guy can sit down for 14 hours and just design, not even look at his phone. So naturally, like when we took our paths, he stayed in that path. Like we both come from graphic backgrounds. He took that path of designing the graphics that go on the clothes. I took the path of designing the clothes.
Okay.
And because there was no blueprint there, like the reason why I'm doing this, the reason why we're doing the YouTube, the reason why we're showing everyone everything is because there was no blueprint for me. I didn't know how to build a team. I didn't even That's know crazy. What a garment tech was.
Yeah.
I didn't know what a production manager was.
Me neither.
Bro, nothing. So like we just built the team by saying, okay, we're doing too much on this. Let's get someone else to help with this and then bring someone in who's going to make the patterns for the clothes.
Yeah.
So I just built it over, like I've been doing this now for 12 years. For 8-9 of them years, it wasn't a success. It was just a hard learning that this is how we've got to do it and building a team and building such a structure that then we know, okay, we have the ability to do this now, let's go out.
And we're also trying to create a blueprint with a podcast. And I think today is like a pivotal moment where we can really go step by step. So I want to say, okay, team. You just talked about a whole thing of like, oh, hiring people, designers, everything. But I remember when I was starting, first of all, is finding a partner. You know, for example, your business partner is your brother. You're going to tell me about that. But Alex and I, we met each other through social media. I was living in Bali back then. He was living in Burgos, which is like, it's like Manchester, but way smaller. And it's in the middle of Spain. And it was like, we were the furthest apart, but we had this look with social media. We had very similar interests. We started following each other, talked to each other, met up. And then a month after that, we started the brand.
Well, that's so special. Not many people have that, man. Like I see so many brands fall apart because the owners.
The relationship.
Yeah.
Because we literally say it. Like our relationship might even be more important than the one with our wife when we find her, you know?
And so it should be, bro. So it should be.
It sounds like a bro moment, you know?
Yeah.
But it's the truth because Nude Project's my life. Without relationship not being solid, Nude Project wouldn't exist.
No, it wouldn't.
Literally, because he has something that adds to the brand. I have the other part. And it's like a perfect dynamic, but it wouldn't work with either both not being here.
Imagine if you both were the exact same. It wouldn't work. That's why it works with me and my brother. We're so different in so many ways, even though we have the exact same vision of where we want to see the brand. Mike is so different to me. I'm so different to Mike that like it works perfectly.
We say it constantly, like we're fully yin yang, you know, like he likes late nights. I like early mornings. He likes maybe more parts of the business. I like maybe some more creative parts.
Yeah.
And it's like that with everything, you know, like it's, literally everything.
It's so good that you two met, like how unbelievable is that?
It's wild. And that's why we say yesterday because after talking to you, actually he told me, he's like, bro, people talk about luck and shit, this is not luck. Like we met you and we're like, we know this was meant to be.
Yeah,
you know, and that we say that in the biggest compliment, but we like it makes sense. Everything makes sense now. Yeah. You know, and I was saying, yes, for me it might be like a 50-50, you know, like 50% luck. Why do I mean say 50% luck? The parents I had, which were extremely loving and gave me an amazing education, anything I could more want, the people I've met in my life, meeting.
But that's not luck though. The people you've met in your life is because you've gone out there and looked. You've gone out there. I think it's more 70-30,
bro. Yeah, it might be 70-30. He's right, and he said that too. He's like, we met because we had similar interests, and towards the universe, we were kind of like attracting that. You know,
this is not luck. This is you going out there and fucking finding what you need. 100%. It's inside you, bro. Yeah, your upbringing has a bit to do with it, but it's not luck. Everyone in the world has the ability to go on social media. They've got the ability to meet people, the ability to look at things, be inspired by things. That doesn't mean it's lucky.
Yeah, to like, be honest,
you push the boundaries on luck and done the right thing.
To be honest, like the only part I really consider luck is like how you were born and how I was born and the things I was naturally born in with my head. Like, for example, the ambition I have.
Right.
I don't think I've created
but
this
But you think
ambition.
You were born with ambition?
Yeah, that's...
I don't think you're born with ambition, man. You learn that through your upbringing. You see things and it makes you either go, fuck that guy, or I want to be that guy. And if you're the guy that thinks, I want to be that guy, that's ambition.
You might be right.
There's a profound debate about whether all our lives are conditioned or not, or until which extent you have control over all that or not.
You can dive a lot of deepness into how that happens. And like, for me, I believed it was like I was brought into a family where my dad was super hardworking, never stopped, never showed emotion. Tough guy. Like, I had that side. And then I had my mum that would sit on the end of my bed at night and be like, oh, George, I believe you're going to make it. When I'm in school, can't do anything. No good at nothing. She'd be sat on my bed like, there's something about you that I know that you're going to do successful, get great results.
That's
and do
crazy.
Things.
That's
so
crazy.
I had both of them elements telling me these different things. And then I really like, is that luck?
You know what reminded me of that a little bit?
That's crazy.
But you know what reminded me of the relationship Kanye had with his mom? I don't know if you guys watched the documentary and stuff, but Kanye says like his mom was a fucking vital instrument in his career and his life. And it was that she was there and she gave them this extreme self-confidence. And now we know Kanye and everyone knows Kanye and it's like, oh, he's a bit crazy or he's too extravagant. He's too. And it's like, no, it's that extreme self-confidence that his mom embedded in him. Because she was like, you can
Michael
do fucking
Jordan.
Greatness. You can
same
do-
with Gary Vee, also for example, his mother.
Did you watch the air documentary, the film about Michael Jordan?
Michael Jordan, of
did
course,
you see
yeah,
his
the
mom?
Documentary.
I watched The Last Dance.
His mom on that, the last, not the last, yeah, was it? Bro, they go to meet Jordan's mom in the movie and it's like,
I watched it.
She sits them down in the garden and she's just like, this guy is going to be the best basketballer on the universe ever. And it's like, dude, if your mom's telling you that as a kid,
you're not going to believe it.
Bro, that's going to get, I don't know.
But like watching what you said about your parents, it looks like your father gave you that or built into you that pretty extreme discipline and like work ethic and that your mother gave you that like unbelievable confidence that you were capable of achieving whatever you want to do.
Yeah, when I was a kid, she kind of told me like, you have to do this. Like you have to be great. So it was like, right, I've got that. My back is against the wall. If I don't do that, I'm going to fucking not. My mum and dad aren't going to be proud of me. Then I've got my dad that like shows up to work at 6 a.m., doesn't leave till 8 p.m., doesn't say one bad thing about it, no complaints every single day of his life. So I've got that. I'm put them two together. You build me.
It's fucking sick.
Yeah, man.
No, but I think that's magic, man. And I think that is really part of it. It's like mentality is such a big thing. Man.
Oh, 100%.
Mentality. And also like when I question myself why I do this, why I keep pushing harder and like, because I think it's part of it. Well, you realize that when, for example, with the podcast, we're looking at a lot of people that are watching this and hopefully everyone likes it and hopefully we can add value to their lives.
Right.
But at the end of the day, my biggest goal is for my parents to be proud of me.
Yeah.
And it sounds a bit weird, you know, because they should be the people that are proud of you no matter what.
Right.
But bro, when I do anything big or when any milestone we hit, the first people I'm calling is my parents.
Of course.
And they're the only people on this earth that I can tell them anything 100% real without having to like touch it up or fake it a little bit, and they'll always want the best for me, and they'll be the most real too. They'll be like harsh when it's supposed to be harsh, but at the same time they'll be like the most loving and accepting. And just seeing my dad or my mom, like I remember I got an award and Alex wasn't there because he was somewhere else, but we got an award. It was like a fashion award or something, and it was my parents were there for the first time, and it was like the first thing that I'd done in front of them where they could see how tangible this was.
And I bet you felt way better than any other thing you've done.
I almost started crying. Yeah. And we've gotten bigger awards and we've gotten bigger things. And it was just like a small award, but it was like, they were right there. And my mom was like almost tearing up. And I was like, fuck, bro. It's like, even talking about it, I'm getting a rush again. Because it's like, this is what it's all about.
Yeah, 100%.
It's deep. What would you say were the difference between your brother and you?
I just think I had the drive to like not let anybody down. And I guess Mike didn't have that from the start. Like I was just so like, not angry as a kid, but I was so forceful on like that I had to do this thing that like, and he had to come with me. Like there was no way we was gonna let Mike just go off and do his own thing. Like, I didn't want that for him. My dad didn't want that for him. Like, my dad and my granddad had a family business. So, like, why wouldn't I make this my family business? Like, this is me and Mike 50-50. I don't want it to be anything else.
You never had a second thought of, like, oh, this whole family, working with family, could it be bad? Because I think there's a stigma in the world.
Yeah,
like, oh,
everyone thinks that.
Family, friends, you know?
I think it's all about respect, right? Like, I respect Mike and I want the best for Mike. Like, I would die for Mike and I'm sure he would die for me. So, like, we've got to make sure this thing works. And no matter what the decisions are made in the business, whether it's us or other people in the business, like, it's all for the best. It's all for the best results. Like, we've got a team we've got to build. We've got to make that team satisfied. We've got to grow the business. We've got to make all of our customers satisfied. Like, they're all our number one aspects to the brand. So we got to do everything we can to serve them.
And going back to the initial question, which was team, you know, and how to grow a team. Okay, we talked about the initial phase, which is finding a business partner,
yeah,
which is not 100% necessary because you can build it on your own. And
you
there's
can
a lot
do,
of
yeah.
people.
And
I think personally for me, finding a partner was a great thing. Like, the only advice I would give here is, like, find a partner. I think it's a good idea to find a partner because it's very, this game can be very tough and it can be very difficult at times. And being able to have a person that can understand you 100% and everything you're feeling, and also celebrate with someone that knows how it feels exactly,
yeah.
and the bad things, being able to feel it with a person that knows exactly how it feels, that is magical.
Yeah, when we see Reese, for example, Reese Guevara, the guy from Mania de Boar,
he's by himself.
By himself?
By himself, yeah.
He goes home, he's by himself.
When
with
here
the
home, like,
he loves it, though. He loves being by himself.
He loves it, no?
And he loves
yeah.
But for me, for example,
for me it would be,
yeah, when we have a bad day, we live together. And I think you and your brother live together.
Of course.
I get home and I can be fucking
you
dead or whatever, but
we laugh at the problems.
Yeah,
have,
he's
yeah.
right there and we're like fucking cracking up. Like, bro, I can't fucking believe this happened today, you know?
And bro, you same with like your close team. Like, I've got John, I've got Spenny, I've got Steph, I've got James. Like,
shout out John.
Bro. we will literally, like, we will lose our minds over something that's gone wrong, and then we'll all just think about it and just fucking have a
laugh
about it.
Really?
Like, no one actually knows what's going on until you launch the products and it's all on site or whatever. Like, nobody knows. Nobody cares as much as you either.
I think this is the type of thing you study in marketing as your business class, and you're like, oh, mission and vision and shit, you know? And it's
right.
like, oh, you don't give it much thought
mm-hmm.
or how important it really is. And even for us in the beginning, we didn't have one.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't have one consciously.
Yeah,
there was
yeah.
one there that was
yeah.
being created, but we didn't put it in a piece of paper. And I'm like, oh, this is my
yeah.
mission.
Same, dude. I didn't do that for years.
And it happened, like, I think it was our third year. We sat down with, like, a coach or something. We were trying to figure structured a bit
yeah.
more of the business. And then we did a brainstorm for, like, 3 hours, and we ended up coming up with it. And our mission is to, like, to inspire the new generation to live from their passion. You know, I think in kind of we're like a living example of what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I remember when it clicked, when we talked about it, it was like, fuck, we've been doing this the whole time. We started the podcast. We showed the process. We were very transparent of how we did things because
yeah.
we wanted kids to be able to do it their own way. But we never put it into words. But we were already living it.
Yeah.
I want to know what your mission is and how you came up with it.
I think I've got two. I've got a one for Represent. I've got one for 247. And again, it was the same with us. Like, we were just living it, not talking about it, and just doing it all the time. But really, like, the mission for Represent is to build the best brand in the world. Obviously, that makes no sense because you'd have to be Nike or Apple. They would
right.
have to be the guys. So what it actually means to us is, like, we got to do the best at everything we can. Like, I talked to you about products. I talked to you about the team. I talked to you about the gym, the environment, all of that stuff. Like, I've got to do it the best that I can. And that to me means I'm building the best brand.
TikTok?
I'm going to do TikTok. Dude, give me like 2 years. You'll be like scrolling through. Oh, what the fuck? That's George.
George, what the fuck?
Whoa.
Why is he dancing?
So yeah, cool. Like, really the mission for me is just to be the best at everything we do. And as well for 247, like the actual mission statement is just on a mission.
On a mission.
And that just means you're doing whatever you can. Like, however it is, like, you're doing something that's going
to
be great.
Yeah, and I think you live it. You know, like,
yeah.
we've always seen you because I think you're very vocal with, like, this to the public.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be at home and we're like, imagine I'm hungover one day and I'm like, hungover is the worst thing because you feel like life is being drained out of you, you know? Like, that's how we
you're
feel
wasting
about
away.
It. So, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, fuck, bro, what am I doing? And now I just look at George's stories and I'm like, and this guy's waking up at 4 a.m. today and he just ran across the whole fucking world, had a nice bath, I don't know, jerked off. I'm joking, but. And I'll just be like, fuck, I'm not on a mission today. And this, so I think like it's cool to see from the outside that you really live it. You know? Like there's not bullshit. And like you can have fun also, but
yeah, definitely, man. Always is like it's great to have a rigorous routine. It's great to have such a strong like discipline, but it's also great that you know you can step out of that at any moment. If you want to go and take a weekend away, just fucking go and do it. You don't need to sit and do the exact same thing day after day for years and years and years, because you'll get into a hole and it'll become so routine to you that like other things won't make sense anymore, and it'll make you kind of not even want to do them, but like hate them. And I've seen that happen with business owners before, and I don't want to go down that path. So as much as you can see me in the gym at 5 a.m. and you'll see me asleep at 8 p.m., like there is times when I want to go and do whatever the fuck I want to do. And I'm not going to sit here and say, I'll never drink alcohol, I'll never do drugs and shit. Like, if I want to do something, I'm going to go and do it.
Now, I want to talk also about your future plans. You have some very exciting things coming. But I think it's like one of the challenges of an artist. Like, you can be super disciplined, you can work super hard, but if you don't get inputs from the real world, it's impossible to create. How can you be creative if you are doing the same things over and over 100%. Every day?
It's been a huge handicap for us at times where we're like working 12 hours a day, nonstop, office every day, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
And we're just stuck in like a black hole.
Mm-hmm.
And then we step out of it. We go to Cape Town four days on our own.
And you realize so
much. And these
much four shit.
Days are the most productive days of
I've had in the last
the
3 months, you know? Or I'll go to LA, I'll meet some guy, and I'm like, oh, this guy changed my life, you know? And I thought it was always, that's one question I had for you following you for a while, which was like, it seems like you're always on the same boom, boom, boom. You're in your house in the middle of nowhere, then you go to the office, and that's the routine. And I asked you yesterday, I'm like, is there more to life, you know? Or do you think it's necessary? Because people, I think, sometimes are a bit confused with, oh, being productive is working every day and not stopping work and stuff. When sometimes it might even be more productive to take a walk and like listen to music and think about life, or just sit down for 3 hours in a plane and do nothing than to be working.
That's exactly it, man. And you can find a lot of inner peace, and you can find a lot of inspiration within yourself. So it doesn't actually matter about your environment. So drop your phone, go for a fucking run for 2 hours. Like you'll figure out way more than you will sat in your office for 6 days. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, completely.
And whatever that may be, whatever your vice is, like if you want to go and sit on a beach, go and fucking sit on a beach. It's not going to harm your business. 2 days away, 5 days away, it's not going to harm anyone.
You might actually do the opposite,
it will do the
revolutionize
opposite.
Revolutionize your business and come with fresh ideas. Like for me, I went back to Bali 2 weeks this year, and I just went to like visit my friends. I grew up there, so it's kind of like a childhood home. And I remember I was like, okay, I'm not going to do any day-to-day tasks in Bali. I'm just going to think about like, apart from like being outside, meditating and shit, which I kind of want to get into.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do like big tasks where in the office I don't get to do because I'm constantly speaking to people.
Every day
you're
doing most.
I don't. So like one of those
Sundays,
big tasks was like.
Sundays are key. Bro.
Yeah, Sundays are key.
You get the big, real, real big missions.
Really? Yeah. And I was like, season two of the podcast, how do I want it to be?
Right.
Like from thumbnail to intro to the things we're talking about, how do I want it to be? Designing the next spring, summer 24 collection.
Right.
What's the universe? What am I creating? Yeah. Where do I want to be? And bro, I did like three tasks only, I think. And those were two of them. And bro, I came back and I came back to the team and I sold them the speech and
it's easy to game changer. It's easy to get caught up in
the
day to day.
Yeah, you gotta step away and you gotta have that helicopter view, right? You step away from it and you think at it, look at it from a different perspective, look at it from a different viewpoint. And you could really see like, actually there's so many different things you can be doing that don't require you to be in that day-to-day all day, every day, even though you're so used to it. You could step away, you could decide, okay, like you said, what's the next season of the podcast? Who's going to be on it? Why am I going to do this? And then get back into the rough bit.
Facts. And I think like a trick tip I would give to people like me, I'm a productivity, like I'm obsessed with productivity. I think even when I was a kid, like even if I wasn't doing anything, I would love to go to school, then I'm going to surf for 2 hours, and then I'm going to go to sleep at 8 p.m. so I can wake up. I've always been quite structured in my life on how I like to do things. And I kind of like tricked myself now, which because I know time off and like being able to like think about other things are important, where it's being with my parents, being with my friends, having a weekend off, all of those things, I look at them as work.
Yeah.
Because I think it's part of creating like my bigger self and being the most productive I can possibly be for a new project, for everything we're doing. I look at it as work, and that's been like a huge tip for me to be like, okay, it's good to be able to have this time off and do these things. And I don't have to feel guilty when I'm there,
right,
you know?
Because
before it was like, oh, I'm one day in Ibiza and I'm going out, I'm hungover. Yeah. What the fuck am I doing? The hungover would be the worst thing in my life because I'm just questioning everything I've done in my life up to that point. I'm like, why?
It's good that you've realized that at such a young age, though. Like, that took me so long to figure out. I spent many years just doing the same thing over and over and over.
That's crazy.
And George, tell us about your plans then. You're moving.
Yeah.
Wow, Manchester. You told us, it was wild.
Yeah.
That's big news.
Yeah, man. I always, look, the first podcast I ever went on was like Diary of the CEO back in 2018. And I said to Stephen on there, I was like, look, my dream is to move to LA. And then on another podcast, I was like, I'm going to move to LA by the time I'm 30. So I was like, I put that out into the universe. Yeah. That, like, if I don't do that, that's on me. That's one thing I've failed at, and I don't like failing at things. So yeah, this, like, I hired a CEO last year. I changed the structure of the business so that I have more breathing space. So now I'm moving to LA next month.
Let's talk about that though, because I think you said it quite quick, and for me it was crazy when you mm-hmm. told me. It's like
hiring a
most
CEO.
Most people would think you're the CEO, like the founder, the creator of the brand is the boss and the big boss of everything. Hiring a CEO means that you're hiring a person to be on top of the day-to-day business in the company.
Right.
And you can possibly be in LA, Ibiza, wherever you could be, and the company still runs the way it should.
Exactly. So his role is not creative. His role is business. His role is exactly what it says on the tin. He is running the business. He is running logistics, wholesale, managing the team, everything that's day to day, everything that's like not the part of the creative process. Because look, I'm a creative guy. As soon as I go into meetings that are about numbers and figures and things that aren't product related, I'm 15 minutes, I'm dead. Bro, I'm falling asleep. So like for Bruno, so many years.
Sounds familiar, or not?
For so many years, I would spend all my time in their meetings, come out and I would be so like depleted that I can't design. I can't do what I'm good at. So the business didn't grow to the level that it needed to because I didn't have my attention on the things that I was good at. So then when I had the ability to hire someone who could take that off from me that I was trustworthy of and that I knew could do a great job and could build the team right, that was when like, I thought this is the perfect opportunity for me to be able to step into what I'm actually good at.
And that's self-awareness too, no? Because I think
100%.
If a guy with like a big ego, for example, would be like, no, I want to be CEO. On top of everything. Yeah, I'm a fucking CEO. I'm a pimp, you know? But I think being able to have the self-awareness of like, I'm not bringing value to the business in this way. Yeah. And I'm better off finding a person that can do 100%. This while I'm focusing on what I really
Dude, and I'm a great brand builder, but I'm not a great business builder. Like, I'm not a businessman. I didn't study business. Like, it's not for me. I'm great at brand, content, fashion, product. Like, that's me. So why would I want to stick around and kind of stop the business from growing because I'm not giving the right answers in them different roles because I don't want to do it.
Handling a $20 million business versus handling a $50 million and $100 million, different worlds. Like I haven't been there yet, but from what I've heard, even Ben Francis hired a CEO in a certain moment because he was like, I'm not in the business capabilities. I'm not up to the level where Gymshark is.
Right. And look at all these people in here. Like, I don't want to be responsible for them and make the wrong decisions for them when I can hire someone to make the right decisions for them. Like, and for me, it's like a confidence booster because when I'm thinking about something that I need to decide on and he can give me the answer that I'm thinking about, it's great because we know we're doing the right thing.
I remember hearing from you that you said in around 2018, you said you were no longer in love with Represent.
Yeah.
What happened?
We were just like... We were designing the wrong things. We were chasing like catwalks and fashion week when really we were a D2C brand and like we had
D2C direct to consumer.
Yeah. We were built off direct to consumer and we were chasing something else. We were looking at other brands and trying to be like that. Whereas actually we needed to look in on ourselves and grow the brand in the way that we originally did. So yeah, we struggled then, but also at that same time, like it made us, I feel like there's always two mountains in your life and there's one great mountain that you struggle to get to the top and then you come down it. Mm. And at the bottom of that mountain, that's when you realize like, okay, this is how we've got to go. And we was at that point in like 2018, 19. And then the next mountain was so much higher, but so much more like worth it.
Rewarding.
Exactly.
I like the example.
The next phase, since we touched up a little bit in you opening your first store, I think for us, it's been a huge moment when we've opened our stores. We opened our first one like a year and a half ago. Yeah. And we always had that mindset of like, yo, let's create a temple, you know? Like both brands being super personal to us, I want to create a world where it's like, you walk in the store, you're smelling, you're hearing the music, and you're like, yo, I'm here. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I just did a line for like 30 minutes and I'm in this bitch, you know?
You've
like
done,
I
really, you've made an ecosystem of what you believe.
Fully. And with Represent, I see it very clearly. You need to have a fucking gym. You need to have, and even maybe people can do workouts exactly. in the morning. That's super cool. Yeah. And for us, it's also a way of expanding the brand. You know, I think being able to, when you're trying to get into a different culture, having a place that fully embodies and represents what the brand means is an easier way to like get into the culture. For example, 100%. We're opening, and I want to say this because I think we'll open like in a week's time from now when the podcast is releasing, we're opening our first store in Milan, insane. Which is, it was scary as fuck, to be honest. Still probably scary at this moment when I'm saying this. But it was like, it felt like the right thing to do, you know, because it was like, in Spain, it's been such a big thing for us. We did a pop-up in Milan. There was like a line of 600 people waiting outside. Yeah. So that was already like a good indicator. But we're like, we really, Italy with Spain, you know, in a cultural vibe, like we kind of speak the same. We're way more similar than we are to like a guy in the UK, for example.
Yeah, of course.
So it kind of felt like the right next step. And we have a store where we're opening. I want to put like a photo. We have a fucking fountain in the store. It's like, I think it's the craziest store we've made by far.
That's the advice that the CEO of one of the brands of Inditex told us. It's a brand called Lefties.
Right.
I don't know if you've heard. It's very similar to Primark, right? And he told us, I'm going to open a new category that's going to be electronics, earphones, blah, 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 blah. When you do something,
put your balls on the table.
Big risk, yeah.
Put
big
your
risk.
Balls on the table.
But no risk, no reward, right?
Yes.
And he said, I'm going to open a fucking... I'm
you must
do.
Believe it. Like, you can just put two earbuds in the middle. No. Like, you need to put an entire section of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what we're doing. We're going to Milan. We're going to open the best fucking store ever.
Exactly, bro.
Made.
Same with LA. That's why I'm going there. I'm not going to fucking fail. Because I believe that we're literally going there to do what we've got to do. There's no other option.
Okay, we're going to go into the last bit of the podcast, which is what we call the quick questions, you know? What is Represent in a phrase?
The best brand in the world.
Would you sacrifice your health and fitness if the brand needed you to do it?
It depends to the extent.
How many garments do you sell in a day?
1,000+.
Would you open a store in Spain?
Let's see what this podcast does.
What do you think of Spanish fashion? Or do you know much more about it?
I don't know too much about it. Obviously, I knew Alex from back in the day, and now I know you two guys. And look, your brand is really cool. But is it a quintessential Spanish, or is it not? Like, I think it's super cool, but it doesn't, to me, scream out Spanish.
Outside of Represent, what do you think is the best brand in the world?
Rolls Royce.
Would you sell Represent for £400 million?
No.
What is your biggest dream in this world?
My biggest dream is really to just leave a legacy behind of what Represent is, who me and Mike were, and the team, to just be completely set for the rest of their lives.
What is what you most like about Nude Project and something you think we should change?
The thing I like the most is you two boys. What I think you should change is nothing. It seems to be working, man. Like, you're on a great streak. Don't mess it up right now.
And then the last but not least is we always do a giveaway at the end of the podcast. And we give out a hoodie for the people commenting, the people showing support.
Let's give them a Represent hoodie.
Wait, that'd be amazing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That'd be fucking amazing. We're going to give away one Represent hoodie, the man himself said it, and one hoodie of ours to all the people commenting here. You will see the winner in the comments. And George, honestly, we said from the beginning, but it's been a huge pleasure having you on.
No, amazing.
You having us here and treating us how you have, I think it's very cool. And it's cool when you see people and you're following people for a long time and they're not dicks when you meet them, you know?
Yeah.
And there kind of is that thing in... It sucks because there's a lot of expectation, you know. I've been growing up, I've been watching you for a long time, and then it's very easy for it to go south if you're
right,
just a dick.
Yeah.
And in your case, it was cool as fuck, man.
I'm glad I'm not a dick, man. I love connecting with guys that have the same vision as me and like are really getting after it. There's nothing better than sharing stories and learning from each other, man.
It's beautiful, man.
Appreciate
George,
it.
Thank you so much. And
nice
see
one,
you guys
bro.
Next time.
Nice one, bro.
Yes, sir.